Good morning. My name is Janie. I lead McDaddy House Church with Kenny, and I'm very honored to share the morning prayer and the devo with you today. So we'll be watching. Oh, sorry, actually, let me start with the prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, help me to serve you, even if that means other people speaking ill of me or thinking I have gone a little crazy. Help me with the understanding that if I were judged according to my works, I would have no chance. Help me realize that although your grace seems too good to be true, it is true. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And we'll be watching a video that takes us through Mark chapter 3, verses 20 to 35.
Then he went home, and the crowd gathered again, so that they could not even eat. And when his family heard it, they went out to seize him, for they were saying, "He is out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, "He is possessed by Beelzebul, and by the prince of demons he casts out the demons." And he called them to him and said to them in parables, "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but is coming to an end. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man. Then indeed he may plunder his house. Truly I say to you, all sins will be forgiven the children of man, and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit never has forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin." For they were saying, "He has an unclean spirit." And his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. And a crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers are outside seeking you." And he answered them, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking about at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother."
Okay, I'll read from the devotional today. The crowd continued to follow Jesus, which must have been wearing. Physically, Jesus is not given a chance to eat. Emotionally, he is challenged by his family. And spiritually, he is criticized and accused by the teachers of the law. In today's text, Jesus reminds us that a house divided against itself cannot stand. We see division and the effects of division everywhere, in fragmented lives, strained marriages, homes, churches, friendships, and in the world. Jesus came to put our lives back together. He came to make us whole and give us a new family. He came to give abundant life, life in the full. What areas in your life are fragmented and need restoration? Jesus has come to set captives free. And I'll read Romans chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Then what advantage has the Jew, or what is the value of circumcision? Much in every way. To begin with, the Jews were entrusted with the oracles of God. What if some were unfaithful? Does their Does their faithfulness nullify the faithfulness of God? By no means. Let God be true, though every one were a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and prevail when you are judged. But if our unrighteousness serves to show the righteousness of God, what shall we say? That God is unrighteous to inflict wrath on us? I speak in a human way. By no means, for then how could God judge the world? But if through my lie, God's truth abounds to his glory, why am I still being condemned as a sinner? And why not do evil that good may come? As some people slanderously charge us with saying, that condemnation is just. In the chapters leading up to this passage of Mark 3, we see Jesus fully embarking on his public ministry. Jesus had just appointed his 12 disciples, and the crowd has been following him everywhere when he enters a house in verse 20. We also learned that his family was not in support of his ministry. Verse 21, it says, when his family heard about this, they went to take charge of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. Then on verse 31, Jesus's mother and brothers arrived. Standing outside, they sent someone in to call him. They didn't even go inside to listen to him teach. When someone tells him that his family are there outside looking for him, Jesus replies, whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother. What spoke to me as I was reading the passage and wanted to focus on was what Jesus says. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. Whoever does the will of God. Jesus had a clear purpose in his life. He knew exactly what God's will for him on earth was, and he was doing just that, which was to heal, to preach the good news, to bring repentance, and to reconcile people to God so that they may have eternal life. Nothing was going to stop that, not even his own family. Did that mean he shunned his family? No, I don't think so, because Jesus never sinned. So we know he must have honored his parents, which is one of the commandments. And when we look through his life, Mary was there when he died, and she was among the ones who saw the empty tomb after his resurrection. And she and Jesus's four brothers joined the church in meeting for prayers after his ascension, as it says in Acts 1:14. In fact, after Jesus's resurrection and ascension, Jesus's brothers became followers. Jacob, or we know as James, was a leader of the Jewish mother church in Jerusalem and was called by Paul as an apostle, and together with Peter and John as pillars of the church. Judah became a traveling teacher and missionary, and they wrote two books of the Bible, the letter of James and the letter of Jude. So when it comes to personal relationships, what does it mean to do the will of God? We again look to Jesus's own words for an answer. In responding to the question, which is the greatest commandment, Jesus answers, love God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I'm sure we all face conflicts in our relationships, whether that be with our parents, spouses, friends, colleagues. There's nothing like relationships that bless us, but there's also nothing like relationships that stress us out. When there's a conflict with someone we care about, we have this unsettling, nagging feeling of unease and maybe even tension and stress. Even when we try to shrug it off as, you know, not a big deal, or try to make ourselves feel like it's nothing, we feel it and our spirit feels it. Sometimes we might bring it up with the person. Sometimes we brush it aside and we don't want to make a big deal out of it. We want to keep peace even when we don't have peace in our hearts. And more often than not, when two parties are at conflict, both parties have legitimate reasons for feeling the way they do. There's always two sides to the story. One side has good reasons for feeling offended or hurt or angry or upset. The other side also has good reasons for feeling offended or hurt or angry or upset. Why one said something or did something can easily be justified in their own minds or words. To share a personal story, so a few months ago, when my husband Kenny shared a message about restoration through confrontation, he had shared about our own experience in our marriage. So now I get to tell my side of the story. He had shared how he had been hurt many times by me being mean to him, unpleasant the way I speak to him, and how often over time that had created a wall in his heart. And he had just learned to deal with it in just different ways of talking or ignoring or whatnot. And that night, had it been a normal conversation or him bringing it up as a complaint or something that he wanted to talk about, I'm pretty sure that I would have reacted in a very natural, fleshly way, aka defensive way. I could easily have come up with 100 reasons why I was not happy with what he did or didn't do, and how I too was hurt, and how I was justified in responding the way I did, or the way I did, or feeling equally offended or hurt. But that night, we had actually started the night not by talking, but just a random sort of saying, let's spend some time in worship together tonight. And during that worship, I felt convicted in my heart that I needed to apologize to him about something he hadn't brought up first, which was that I was sorry that I had hurt him and hadn't protected his heart. And I believe at that moment, God had put his heart and his will to mine, which was that he was sad that there was this conflict in our marriage and that there was this wall between us. And that wasn't what he wanted for us. So when I shared that, and then when Kenny responded and shared that he had a fear of getting hurt by me, my heart went out to him. At that moment, it really wasn't about me being right or my feelings being justified or having my say. I genuinely wanted him not to be in that fear or for there to be any wall between us. And that's what prompted an impromptu inner healing, bringing, forgiveness and healing. So, what do I think is the will of God when it comes to relationships? I think it's seeing the person through the heart of Jesus, desiring what God wants for that person and ultimately for the relationship. It's acknowledging, how they feel, listening to them, because that's what I think what Jesus would do. It is laying down our rights, how we might be feeling, how we might be justified in what we did or what we said or what we felt. And I also believe that that heart change or feeling the heart of the Lord can only happen in the presence of God because it's completely unnatural and impossible in our fleshly way to think that way or muster up that way. So, I think doing the will of God, we know that Jesus withdrew and spent time with God regularly in the secret place. That's where he really downloaded the will of God. And that's what fueled him and gave him the ability to go out and do his public ministry. Whenever he was weary, we know that he withdrew and he spent that time with God. And then in that presence of God, I believe that God transferred his heart to him. And shared his heart with him and made very clear what his will was. So as we go into worship, let's ask the Holy Spirit to bring to our mind any relationships that are currently broken in our lives, where we might be feeling have conflict with somebody or at unease with somebody, whether that be with our family, friends, or colleagues. Or maybe, as we are walking in our faith or doing ministry, we feel unsupported by those that are closest to us and we feel hurt by that. So let's bring all that into the presence of God as Pastor Nate leads us in worship today.
Make me servant, humble and meek. Lord, let me lift up those who are weak, and may the prayer of my heart always be.
Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring love. Where there is offense, let me bring pardon. Where there is discord, let me bring union. Where there is error, let me bring truth. Where there is doubt, let me bring faith. Where there is despair, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, let me bring your light. Where there is sadness, let me bring joy. O Master, let me not seek as much to be consoled as to be consoled, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, for it is in giving that one receives. It is in self-forgetting that one finds. It is in pardoning that one is pardoned. It is in dying that one is raised to eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's go to community prayer today. Let's lift up those in our community who have cancer and going through chemo, radiation, and surgery. So let's just lift them up in prayer. And let's also lift up those who are ill, but also need salvation, that the Holy Spirit would hover over them and speak his truth to them, that they may accept his salvation. Let's also lift up those in our community who are going through various infirmities, that God would release his healing. Let's lift up those in amongst us who are looking for jobs, that God would release a job for them, that they would bring them to a new, you know, connection, the right people, and the right opportunity, that God would open doors for them. Okay, let's go to the daily prayer focus. Let's pray for all of our churches in China, SP Beijing and P Hensu, who leads, and SP Shanghai, with P Ricky and Steph are leading there, and the Chungs and the churches of China, that even amidst the persecution and oppression, that they would arise and that God would really bless them and guide them. And let's lift up the board. The members are written there. Let's just pray for that we just really be able to focus on God's heart for the church, and that God would give wisdom and discernment to the board members to really make important decisions for our body. Let's pray for young adults and men's ministry and women's ministry, that people would really be able to connect with one another through these fellowships, and that you would also that God would also equip the leaders with vision and clear direction on what to do with the ministry and how to lead them. And let's lift up SP 2.0 for our building and resources, that would all be faithful in giving towards the Vision Fund, and that, yeah, God would make very clear his timing, and that he would bring the benefactor, and that, yeah, that God would bless this SP 2.0. And let's lift up house churches that are meeting today, and that they would all just really minister to one another, and that God would minister to them through house churches today. Let's lift up our city, Hong Kong. In the middle of all this COVID times and economic recession, let's pray for those who have lost their jobs and, you know, families that are suffering, and also for just unity in this city, and for God to just really bring his revival in the city. So let's lift up our city. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for another morning, another day. We're so privileged to be able to walk with you. And yeah, whatever we might be going through, difficulties in our relationships, or maybe difficulties as we walk in faith and doing our ministry, that we don't feel supported by those that are close to us, or whatever that we might be facing. Would you help us to just fix our eyes upon you? As you said, whoever does the will, your will, will be called, your own. And blessed are the peacemakers. They're called the sons of God. So just pray, Father, that we'll just be able to really lay down our feelings of offense, hurts, whatever it might be that we're going through, and that we would just really lift it up to you, and that we would look to you to comfort us, to speak to us, to bring direction, and that you would just really let your heart be known to us, Lord God. Just invite us, Lord God, to spend time with you, and in that moment of quiet as we spend time with you, that there would just be that peace that transcends all understanding that you bring to us, Lord God. We just thank you so much that we have your presence, and that we have, that we can always come to you, and that you promise that peace. Thank you, Lord. And just pray, Father, for blessing over everyone, over their day today, over work, over their family life, and over their relationships, whatever they are set to do today, that you would just really bless them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, everyone, and thanks for joining.